Hey, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. Look, let's pray for an end to COVID. Let's pray for our president. Let's pray for the leaders of this nation that they will govern with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, right? Let's pray for you and I. Well, in the days ahead, I'm going to look into ivermectin. I've got several friends who are physicians, and I want to talk about how effective that is or isn't. And as I try to do at least once a week to give you a perspective on the latest developments regarding COVID. So I'll continue to do that next week. We're battling mandates today. Let's pray for our freedoms that they can certainly be upheld, and the individual and our fundamental rights can always be respected. And I know God hears these prayers. I do. I know He hears prayers. And you know, the last guest I thought was right in terms of the remarks that we got to trust God. You might face a situation where you're going to lose your job. You know, it might be really difficult. God closes one door in your life. I'm convinced. I've seen it in my own life. He'll open another. I've had things I loved taken away from me. I mean, totally stripped off. And God can never be outdone. His plan was far better. And in retrospect, I look back, I'm happier. And He opened new doors, new opportunities, gave me even better blessings. And the same holds true for you. So if you're going through health crisis right now, or a relationship problem, or your business is in trouble, or you're drowning in debt, or you're concerned about your kids, why worry, right? Why be filled with anxiety and fear? That will do nothing for you. Join me now. We'll pray, all right? We will ask God for His mercy on you. He told St. Faustina, that's all we have, right, is His mercy. And when we draw our final breath, you know, it's mercy or justice. I want His mercy. That's what I'm banking on. So I want to pray for a couple of people. I want to keep this man's, I want to pray for Juan Landa. I mentioned him the other day, and I want to lift up his intention. I'd ask you to pray for him. I want to pray for everyone that has COVID, that is battling respiratory problems, that is, has comorbidities, that perhaps may be on ventilators, whose businesses have been impacted by it. I want to ask God for mercy on this. It's been a long haul, right? It's been a year and a half now since we've been battling COVID, and closing in on 2 years soon. I mean, it has just not ended, and it has taken lives, and it has destroyed businesses, and it has changed the culture in some degree. So we'll just ask God to remove this plague from us. We're really going to pray for that today. I also want to pray for this woman who wrote to me, and she says, would you pray for my husband? He passed suddenly. He was buried last week, and I now found that he has left me completely in debt. True, I can lose my home. I have no way to pay these debts. We're on a fixed income. Would you please pray for me? I really need a miracle. She said, I listen to the chaplet every day, and I know so many people have been blessed. So let's pray for our sister in Christ here. We'll pray for her facing what has been a tragedy compounded by even greater hardship. I want to lift her up. I want to pray for the souls in purgatory. I was just watching a documentary on them last night, and I know I'm not praying enough for them. So we'll pray for those who've gone before us. I want to pray for a person named Bobby committed suicide this week. He was disabled, suffering, brought him to that point, the person said. And these want to lift up all those who suffer and who've contemplating taking their lives or who have taken their life by suicide. I want to pray for those who are left behind. I want to pray for those who've lost loved ones, especially the unborn. And those going through divorce, lift them up, and for broken marriages. So we'll pray for that. Oh, one final intention here, too. This one came in. Young kid, high school, right? High school hockey player from Massachusetts. His name is Jake, I think it's Thibault. Person writes to me, said he suffered a serious spinal cord injury in a game over the weekend. He's currently paralyzed from the waist down. So, again, you don't know the hour. You don't know the day. Healthy kid playing hockey may never walk again. But we'll put him in the hands of the Lord. We'll ask God for His mercy, all right? I'm praying today with Jennifer Lee, and it's good to have her in here. I call her Jay Lee. Jay Lee, good to have you.
Good afternoon.
You want to pray for?
Yeah, I have two prayer intentions today. First is for a priest friend of mine who's in the hospital. Pray for a speedy recovery for him. And then also a prayer intention that came in from Deb in St. Paul. She's praying for the recovery of Isabel, age 20, who's hospitalized right now with very serious burns suffered during an accident she had last week. So I want to pray for her and for all burn victims. I've been reading a little bit about the fire in 1958, Our Lady of the Angels and
Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. And just the suffering that people went through, and the death and the victims, it just touched me in a special way. These burn victims,
that's horrible.
It's something that doesn't really heal throughout your whole life. So,
well, Lord, we ask for your mercy. We also ask for protection over each of us and our loved ones. We bring these intentions to you and all who will unite with us in prayer as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. We'll take our first call today. It comes from Barbara. She's listening in Sacramento, California. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it so much.
You got it.
I would like to ask for prayers from all of your wonderful listeners for my husband, Rick, who is 2.5 years into his battle with cancer. It has been one hardship after another. He has suffered greatly. And we would just pray that if it would be God's will, if he would give us miraculous healing and use us to be a witness to the love of Christ, and thank him for the fruits we've gained from this journey sometimes, and let us use these lessons we're learning for his glory. And we just humbly ask for healing, as undeserving as we may be. And thank you so much, Drew. I appreciate it.
And Barbara, thank you. It's such a humble prayer that you offered. And we'll bring this to our spiritual family here. And we'll pray for your husband in particular. I give you Rick, who is battling cancer now for years. And I give you Barbara, too, his spouse, so perfectly united in the sacrament of matrimony. And I ask for mercy, and I ask for miracles. I never limit you, Father. Never. I know how much you love us, and as she so beautifully pointed out, you know, this is for your greater glory, so that they can be a witness and a testimony to your mercy. And Lord, I know many promises have been given to St. Faustina, so we ask that you honor those today as we bring Barbara and her intentions before you, and we bring all those in this fight with cancer. Give you those who are really struggling. I know in some cases it will be the pathway to purification, to sanctification, to holiness, and to ultimately eternity. And if that's the case, give that soul tremendous peace and their family members, and just let your presence be felt. But I do pray for these miracles. You cured leprosy and you rose from the dead. Please hear these prayers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole
world. For the
world.
Sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole
For
world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Maine. Vacation state or vacation land, I think they call themselves. Mark, good afternoon.
Hi, Father Rocky. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Hey, Mark, it's Drew.
Hey, Drew, I'm sorry.
Okay. No, it's good to have you here. You're a prayerful man. I'm sure you pray with Father every evening. So.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining.
Hey, I'd like to have my son and his wife, Wendy.
Okay.
I'd like to have Wendy prayed for. She's in the hospital right now, and she's having seizures, and they're not quite sure what the problem is.
Okay. So, all right, well, let's lift them up.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you, Mark. We'll pass your intentions along to Father Rocky, too. I know we'll be praying tonight the rosary. Lord, I give you Mark. I pray for his daughter-in-law, Wendy. We pray for all those in the hospital. I want to pray for anyone who is suffering from problems with seizures and undiagnosed ailments and problems. We ask that you illuminate the physicians who are treating those individuals, and we just ask you help those who need those remedies, Lord, the proper medication, the proper assessment of their condition. And again, I come to you, Father. I ask by virtue of the passion and death of your Son, just for healing the flow today, that there be many physical healings, that diseases be vanquished, that tumors shrink, that heart problems be remedied, Lord. I just give you all those right now who say, Father, I need a healing. And I bring these souls to you in Mass as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Ashley prays with us in St. Charles, Illinois. Hi, Ashley. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I have three intentions today. The first one is for our friends, Andrew and Avi. They just lost their baby girl 2 weeks ago. She was about 5 and a half, almost 6 months pregnant. And they've suffered a couple of miscarriages, but I'm just praying for their healing. I mean, they're absolutely devastated. And if it's God's will that they become parents. Second intention is for my sister-in-law's nephew, Brody. He's having some respiratory issues. He was born with a trach. They were trying to help his breathing, and there were just serious complications and setbacks with that. So praying for his healing and for their family. And then lastly, for my son, it's his 5th birthday today.
Well, happy birthday to you too, Mom. You gave birth on this great day. I love it. Well, we'll lift you up, Ashley, right now and all of those intentions. You know, I would call my mom on my birthday and wish her happy birthday because she's the one who gave birth. So it was her birthday. But we'll pray for you. We'll pray for that beautiful relationship with your child there and for many blessings on your son. You always have that special union. But Lord, I pray for all those who have suffered loss, especially through miscarriage. And I know that's so hard to get over in so many situations. The wound is so deep. I pray for those mothers who've lost their children through abortion as well. And I just ask, I know you are love and mercy itself, that you embrace these souls, that you heal them, that you heal those deep emotional heart wounds, Lord. And I pray for Ashley's sister-in-law's nephew who's having these respiratory issues. And I give you anyone who's having breathing problems today that can be frightening and terrifying. I give you every one of her intentions. I unite them to all who are now on hold with me, all who are praying, all who are crying out. And I want to, before we pray this decade, bring Maggie in as well, because she's sharing so many intentions that have come in over over our Twitter handle as well. So, Maggie, what do you got coming up?
Yeah, actually, a listener called in earlier today and asked that we pray for her daughter and husband. They're struggling in their marriage due to some issues with alcohol. They're seeking counseling, so just pray that that marriage is strengthened. Maria's asking for prayers for all the souls in purgatory. Rosie's asking for prayers for her mom's health, that doctors find the source of her swelling and that she can be allowed to continue treatment and healing from her kidney cancer. Right. So pray for complete healing there. Judith is praying for all the victims of 9/11. Yaya's asking for a special intention, so let's lift her up. Rita's praying for her son that he might find his path and recover from his spinal injury, but also that he can learn to accept his father's abandonment. Mac is praying that the government can hold true to the to our founders' dreams. New York Catholic Radio tweeted us and said, please pray for peace and religious freedom. And I would like to add a personal intention that the Lord draws any baptized and confirmed Catholics back into the confessional, that no matter how long it's been, no matter what they've done, that the Holy Spirit entices them to come and clear their soul.
Lord, hear these prayers as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Let me go to the frozen tundra. Green Bay, Wisconsin. Al is praying with us there. Hi, Al.
Hi, Drew.
Hey, man.
I think you know, Drew, that living in Wisconsin here, that we know that there is a senator, Andre Jock, who's in a hospital.
Yeah, you know,
and
no, go ahead, Al,
COVID,
please.
And I just hope that our prayers and Rosie's ought to heal him.
He's been battling that for a while now, right? My understanding.
Yes, what I heard yesterday. Now, if this is true or not, somebody told me that he was in intensive care, moved out of intensive to a room, but I think he's still on the ventilator yet.
Wow.
Well, people will see him, family.
Well, you know, let's pray for him right now. I want to pray for Andre Jacques and for his family. I know his father. I don't have time to share the story, but that father did me a favor one day. Just by chance. I didn't know who he was, and I got a great story to tell you about God's providence, and it involved Andre's father. Andre's a great pro-life senator. And, Lord, I really pray for this man. I've heard of his situation. I've prayed for him on several occasions, but I bring him to the family here, and I just ask from this moment forward, his health begin to change, that ventilator be removed, his strength return, that he can fulfill the great mission that you have set for him, being a voice of truth and a defender of life in the Wisconsin Senate. I pray for all those in similar situations, and I do pray for our government, Lord, in all the different positions as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Anita is praying in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Anita, welcome.
Thank you for your love and for your prayers.
Thank you.
I am asking for a blessing. I want a miracle for my son, who has been suffering with this cancer for close to 3 years, and he has suffered so much with it. It's been one part of the body and then another and another, and now it's in his back. So I'm not driving. I'm not bringing a cup. I'm driving my grandfather's hay wagon right up to the gates of heaven.
Amen.
To pull all the holy souls in purgatory and help me with this.
Oh, gosh.
I want my son blessed and healed spiritually and physically.
You know,
and I pray for America, and I pray for New Mexico that we'll stop being the leading capital of abortion.
Amen.
And I pray for the national debt.
You are such a beautiful soul, Anita. Oh, my gosh, you're so beautiful. I'll tell you what, everyone who is listening to you right now, I know they're going to pray for you. They're going to pray for your son. And I don't know how God can reject you. I don't know how God can say no. I don't know his plan, but if you came to me with that petition, my answer would be yes. I think of what St. Faustina said, Anita, and you are this soul that she writes about. She says, a humble soul does not trust itself, but it places all of its confidence in God. And God's heart is moved by that. He wants to pour whole torrents of grace upon souls. He said, I want to give unimaginable grace to those souls who trust in my mercy. So, Lord, we don't hold out a cup. We don't hold out a bucket. She's bringing a whole hay wagon to you. So I just love that. Please hear this woman's prayers. Please heal her son. And Lord, I give you everyone who's on hold with me right now, all who are united with me. Let today be an extraordinarily special day, a day of grace and healing as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Saint Nicholas Tolentino,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's keep praying for one another.
America, sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. Saving brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Boy, I wish I could sing like that. Woo, little Ray Charles there. Yeah, that's something else. Yeah, what a great song, and what a great nation we have. I love this country. It is a blessed nation. We've been given a mission by God, I really believe, to lead the world on so many different fronts, but I think we have to be lights in this world of darkness and draw others to the Lord. One of the greatest scourges we have as a nation, we already know one of the dark chapters of this beautiful country, so blessed by God, is slavery. And virtuous people rose above it, and it has become a very dark, ugly chapter in our history, marred, I think, one of the great nations of the world. But we are still writing another chapter. The ink for that chapter is written in blood, and it's the blood of the unborn. And I think that will make the crime of slavery, which is an intrinsic evil, it'll pale in comparison to what we have done for decades now in this country. We remember the 3,000 souls that were lost in the World Trade Towers. Tomorrow, in a special way, there's a National Day of Remembrance for them. But who remembers the unborn? Who remembers the unborn? Tomorrow, pro-lifers are going to gather in cemeteries all across the country. You may not be aware of this. They're not just remembering, you know, the children that have been killed through abortion, though there are, I don't know how many tens of millions there have been, but they're also going to remember many of the mothers who lost their lives to abortion, who've lost relationships. They happen because of the fathers or the siblings or the parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles or coworkers, whoever it may be. All those relationships that have been permanently marred by the killing of these unborn children. There can never be, contrary to what Hollywood and so many of the actresses and actors there try to say, is a good abortion. That's a deception. There is a woman I know. Her name is Dr. Monica Miller. She's the director of Citizens for Pro-Life Society, and she's been a wonderful example of what it means to stand up for life. A great professor of theology, and she wrote a book called The Theology of the Passion of the Christ, and she wrote another book, The Authority of Women in the Catholic Church and Sexuality and Authority in the Catholic Church. And you can check out her website, prolifesociety.com. Every year, she spearheads this effort. She joins me today just to bring you up to speed. Doctor, thank you for your time. Why don't you fill us in on what's happening and maybe how we can participate?
Well, right. First of all, the National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Babies, Drew, is next Saturday. We moved it to the third Saturday of September this year. So it's on the 18th, so people have plenty of time to plan to attend. And let me mention my book, Abandoned, The Untold Story of the Abortion Wars, because I actually chronicle in a lot of detail how we found the bodies of aborted babies in various trash dumpsters, loading docks, at a pathology lab, and how we, the burials that we planned for these victims. So the National Day of Remembrance on September 18th, there are 56 graves of aborted babies in the United States. And there are numerous memorial markers, hundreds of them actually. All of that is cataloged at the nationaldayofremembrance.org website. And if people go there, they can click on locations and then scroll down to your state. Everything is alphabetized. And you can find out where one of these memorial services is going to be taking place in your location, your town. Also, if you see that there's a memorial marker or even a grave of an aborted baby or babies, there's still some time to throw something together. And we would feature it on the website. You get to fill out the leadership, the fields for that. It takes 30 seconds. But we really hope people will come out. This is the only thing that aborted babies are ever going to get this side of heaven. And a mere fraction of the 62 million that have been put to death in legalized abortion ever find their way. A mere fraction has found their way into a human cemetery.
Wow.
It's probably not even 1% of the 62 million. So this is very special. And if we don't, Drew, if we don't remember and honor them, no one will. These are abandoned human beings and abandoned by their own parents, treated like trash.
Yeah,
this is our witness to the humanity of these children.
Amen.
By being out there at the memorial markers or the graves. But people can easily find out what's going on by going to nationaldayofremembrance.org.
Well, Doctor, I'll tell you what. I'm glad that it's not this weekend, but the following, and I'll make sure that I put this on everyone's radar as well. And I hope others will share this on their social media and get everybody plugged in. The website again, nationaldayofremembrance.org. That's nationaldayofremembrance.org. Doctor, thank you. We'll talk
thank
maybe
you,
next
Drew.
Week more about it. Keep up your beautiful work. I'm
God
delighted
bless you.
To
thank you.
God bless you. It's Dr. Monica Miller. Please go to that website, share it with everyone you know. nationaldayofremembrance.org. It'll get you up to speed on everything we can do for those who have been treated with no respect. They are created in the image and likeness of God, and there's a dignity with them. Dr. Monica Miller showing them that respect.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Get connected to anything you missed on the Drew Mariani Show by going to the relevantradio.com archives. It's truth on demand.
On demand.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. So good to be here with you today. You know, tomorrow we remember in a special way what was a tragic moment in our country. Remember 9/11. I'm sure you're getting a lot of coverage on it today. And since I won't be with you tomorrow, at least I won't be live. You can always catch my broadcast. But I thought I'd reflect back a little bit on 9/11. I remember exactly where I was when the first plane hit the World Trade Towers. I was in an edit bay in Pennsylvania working on a documentary when my phone rang. And it was my wife saying, "Do you have the television on? Take a look." And all of us in the edit bay turned on our monitors and were shocked as smoke billowed from that building, only to be doubly amazed when a second plane struck the second tower. And then it unfolded almost like a movie script. There were some key figures in that story. One of them was Rudy Giuliani. He was the mayor of the city at the time. And there was a mass exodus going on. There was sheer chaos. No one knew whether we were at war or what was happening. Another individual was the cardinal of New York City. Two huge figures. I had an opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with these men. And I thought I would share just part of that conversation with you. Men who lived that day and who recounted it in a very vivid way with me. And I think this will give you some great insight. Here's Mayor Rudy Giuliani. One of the men who was in the heart of this issue was Mayor Rudy Giuliani, and he appeared on Relevant Radio, and he was asked just to reflect back on the day that we as Americans suffered a great wound, suffered a great loss. And he was asked if he would have done anything different now with the gift of retrospect, and here's part of what he had to say.
Well, I don't think I would have done anything much differently. I mean, I found out about 9 o'clock that there was a terrible fire at the World Trade Center, and I was told that a twin-engine plane had hit the North Tower. So I rushed down there from 55th Street, where I was. At the time that I was told that, I walked out, saw a beautiful blue sky, and I came to the conclusion that it wasn't an accident. Didn't know at first whether it was just an insane act by a single individual or a terrorist-inspired act. But I wouldn't have done anything differently. I mean, I rushed there within, seems to me, just a few minutes. I saw another big explosion about a mile away, and I was informed by the police that a second plane had hit. So by the time I got to the scene, which is about a minute after the second plane hit, 2 minutes after, I knew it was a terrorist. So there was only a short period of indecision about whether it was a terrorist act or not. I'm not sure if I had been told right at the beginning this is a terrorist attack, what I would have done differently. I immediately tried to reach the White House police commissioner. The fire department, you know, reacted. From the point of view of the fire department, didn't matter much whether it was a terrorist or not. It was a massive, massive fire and rescue effort. Probably mattered more from the point of view of the police department, because once I found out it was a terrorist attack, we probably turned more of our attention, I'd say half of it, for protecting the rest of the city. I had to have a bifurcated response, that a good deal of effort had to be geared toward the relief and recovery at the scene. But I couldn't put all my resources into that. I had to save some of my resources, namely the police, for protecting the rest of the city.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes on that day. A lot of decisions have to be made. And again, this is not the first time. I don't know if you know this or not. 9/11, this is not the first time the World Trade Towers were attacked. They were hit in 93. So to realize that this was an act of terrorism and one as grave as this, I don't know if the terrorist even knew the amount of devastation that would be caused when those planes hit the buildings. I mean, whoever thought that if the heat would be so intense, it would melt the girders and cause those buildings to collapse on one another. So not only were rescue efforts underway, as you heard Mayor Giuliani say, he had to keep, you know, security back because who knew what else was coming. And there was chaos in the city on that day. There was chaos. He went on to explain that he was very intentional about staying active in the situation. A lot of people wanted him removed. He did not want to remove himself from that danger.
My rule, and all my staff knew this, in fact, they all went to the scene also, was that when we had a big emergency, I went there, I assessed it. I made sure that the police and fire and emergency services and everyone else had everything they needed. And then we made our decisions once we got a chance to observe firsthand what the scope of the emergency was. I've always found in emergency management that if you can get to the scene and observe it, you make much better decisions than if you are, you know, removed from it and you get somebody else's interpretation of it, or even the misimpression you can sometimes get by seeing it on television. You just don't get the real appreciation for what it's like unless you're actually there. Look into the eyes of the fire commander who's handling the effort and know from having done 100 emergencies with him whether he's comfortable that he has enough or he's not. But, you know, sometimes they say we can handle it, and you can look in their eyes and you look at the scene and you can say, hey, they're biting off more than they can chew. And sometimes they can tell you we can handle it, and you realize, oh, yeah, they've got everything they need, and they got it under control.
You're listening to the former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani. He had to share about the events of 9/11. He came to Relevant Radio several years ago and expressed his deep gratitude for the heroic actions of so many of the police and firefighters and first responders and what they did in the line of duty. Here's a little bit more.
The first antidote, really, to what the terrorists were trying to do to us, meaning trying to demonstrate that we were weak, cowardly, that we'd become chaotic. Instead, what they were faced with were a group of firefighters and police officers who stood their ground, ran into the fire rather than away from it. They ran into the fire so they could pull out people. And the 9/11 Commission report that studied this very carefully and sometimes very critically came to the conclusion that the firefighters and police officers saved something like 99.5% of the people they were capable of saving. And that rarely happens in a situation like this. If I could recreate for you how different this was, how much worse this was than any emergency they had ever fought before. This was like a military attack. It was like a military bombing of downtown Manhattan. It was as if two big bombs had been detonated in downtown Manhattan, blew up two buildings, and affected a 3 or 4 mile square area. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen before. There were times in which I'm sure I was in a state of shock seeing people get hit by debris and getting killed before even the buildings came down, seeing men throw themselves out of the 101st, 102nd floor, watching their bodies come down. When you're going through it, you don't relate to it that way. When you're going through it, those are just instincts and feelings you have, and you keep your mind off that, and you keep your mind on, well, what do I have to do next? You know, what's the best next step that I can take that'll help deal with this as best you can? You try to put those thoughts about how terrible it is and how awful it is out of your mind, and you say to yourself, I'll think about that afterwards when I have a chance to think about this.
Mayor Giuliani went on to explain that he was very intentional about staying active in the situation, not removing himself from the dangers, you heard him say there. But he was also asked, you know, were you fearful at all for your family's safety throughout the day? Because, you know, I don't know about you, when I was watching the events, my wife was at home. She was with our young kids at the time. I was editing in an edit bay. I was working on a documentary at the time. And she called me. She's got to turn on the monitors where you are and take a look at this, because the World Trade Tower just got hit. And I was watching it smolder in smoke when a second tower hit. And I immediately got on my knees and began to pray the chapel to Divine Mercy. I went home and we did the same thing together. We prayed as people were jumping out of those buildings, as firefighters and rescue crews were racing in to save others, as lives were being taken. And as the news coverage began to cover this, it wasn't isolated. The towers fell, the smoke and fumes, you know, just it looked like a bomb had gone off. Then you saw there was the Pentagon attack. Yeah, I remember Jim Mikuláczewski, who was an ABC reporter at the time, talking about the plane coming in. There was another one over western Pennsylvania heading to the White House. You didn't know when it was going to end. They grounded aircraft. Were other cities going to be struck? If it was New York and it was D.C., Could it be L.A. or Philadelphia or Chicago or some other area? We did not know what was happening. Was this an attack of war? Was it some other nemesis other than a group of, you know, isolated terrorists? Was this something more orchestrated? What was happening? This was reminiscent, really, in some respects, of Pearl Harbor. The emotional distress caused by these attacks for people who are living through them that day, particularly when you visualize, when you can see the collapse of the Twin Towers. That's New York City's most visible landmark at the time. It was overwhelming to think, as you heard Mayor Giuliani talk about, a strike in the heart of that city. Unlike the relatively isolated, you know, attacks in Pearl Harbor, that was an island, right, way out in the Pacific. But there is a connection between what happened in Pearl Harbor and what happened on September 11th, and those events would soon be compared. The World Trade Center lay at the heart of the world's largest city, one of the world's largest cities. And hundreds of thousands of people witnessed the attack firsthand. It's amazing the video footage we had as well. I mean, if you look back, it's incredible that this event is so well documented. It's unbelievable. You know, I'd spoken to Cardinal Egan a little bit earlier. Heard his the interview I had conducted with him. I'm sharing with you a little bit of the other key player in this day. That's Mayor Rudy Giuliani. He was asked, as I said, was he fearful for his family's safety throughout the day? Because I think a lot of Americans were unsure what the rest of the day, let alone what the future held. Here's what he had to say.
Not tremendous, because I realized that it was this attack was confined to one place. My major concern for my own family was about the same as it was for the rest of the city, meaning we expected there would be follow-up attacks. We didn't know where they would be. We had a group of places on our terrorist priority target list that we had developed over many, many years. I mean, I knew of this list way back when I was prosecuted, U.S. attorney, and prosecuted some terrorism cases. So what I was concerned about was that those places that might be the subject of follow-up attacks, that those were protected. And then I wanted to make sure that my children were safe. And in one case, one of my children was in school in New Jersey. In fact, his mother and sister went to join him there. Just on the theory that maybe the mayor's family might be the source of some idiot trying to do something. And because one of the things we thought was going to happen was that this would be followed up by suicide bombings in these places that the terrorists had expressed interest in. When we would arrest them, we would find them with plans for the subways, all these different things. I mean, we thought it might be part of their plan. Of course, we did get an anthrax attack almost 1 month later, and that has been attributed to, I guess, malicious conduct. I have no reason to dispute that other than I have a hard time believing in coincidence. But from everything I can see, that was not a follow-up terrorist attack. But I guess we never know, right? When it happened, we sure as heck thought it was. We were being warned, directly warned by the FBI, that there were going to be follow-up attacks. And those warnings went on for about 2-3 months. Why they didn't do it, all I can say is, I'm speculating, but I imagine they thought that they had accomplished a pretty good shot at us in New York and Washington and over the skies of Pennsylvania that they had inflicted. I think they believe they had inflicted a mortal wound on us. In fact, it turns out that Americans are much more resilient than they ever thought they were. I think maybe more resilient than many Americans thought they were.
A lot we can learn from those days, right? And I think that's a great message to leave Rudy Giuliani on. I think we are a resilient people, and I think we're the greatest nation in the history of the earth. I really do right now. I think we are one of the greatest nations today. Is really our form of government, what we stand for, our generosity. People are dying to get in this country, not necessarily leave it. And we have a lot of enemies out there. Pray for protection. I believe God gave the United States of America a special mission. I do. I believe we have a special mission in not just in life personally, but I think as a nation. We do too, to be that shining light on a hill, not just to lead the world militarily or financially, but to lead the world spiritually as well. I enjoyed the conversation with Rudy Giuliani, and I'm going to share one with Cardinal Egan coming up. Boy, what he's got to say is, it's riveting, and you'll want to hear that. But there's a lot of heroes that day. Mayor Giuliani talked about the first responders who went into the fire, into collapsing buildings to save others, and the success rate that they ultimately had. But one of the unsung heroes of that day, too, one that is often overlooked, are those men and women religious, in particular priests, who are offering last rites to the dying. And what a blessing that would be if you're taking your final breath. I thought I'd share with you a perspective that you may not have heard before. Listen to this.
This is as close as we can get to the base of the World Trade Center. You can see the firemen assembled here, the police officers, FBI agents, and you can see the two towers. A huge explosion now, raining debris on all of us. We better get out of the way!
For American Catholics, there's something especially worth remembering about the September 11th terror attacks, and it's something you might not have heard. When the New York City Fire Department was called to the scene of the World Trade Center that September morning in 2001, Father Michael Judge went along with them. As chaplain of the fire department, this Catholic priest performed an important service. While his firefighters worked to rescue as many people as possible in the melee, Father Judge prayed over the wounded and blessed the dying and the dead. Just after he rushed into the foyer of the North Tower, the South Tower collapsed. As he gave last rites to a dying fireman, Father Judge was crushed under the debris and died. But while the terrorist attack took the life of that priest, one fireman who was on the scene believes there were also signs of hope. "I saw the worst of humanity, but I also saw the best of humanity," Tom Colucci recalled in a report by Alatea. Colucci, a captain in the New York City Fire Department and a Catholic, was forever impressed with the responders to the scene. Everybody said, "Where was Christ that day?" Well, that was the body of Christ. Christ was in everybody that showed up that day, he said. In fact, the Christian fervor of responders changed his life forever. He spent 8 years as a Benedictine monk and then chose to become a priest. Father Tom Colucci was ordained in May of 2016. "With the fire department, you're saving lives," says Father Colucci. "Here in the priesthood, you're saving souls. You're both helping people, reaching out at their neediest moments. You put other people first, which is the essence of being a fireman and the priesthood. Every September, all Americans honor the victims, comfort the surviving families and friends, and swear never again to allow such an attack to be accomplished on American soil. But for American Catholics in particular, September 11th is also a day to remember the grace of God offered through the healing hands of His church and His priests."
Yeah, you know, we take for granted so often the gift of the sacraments, and we all, at least I do, I hope, I pray to God that in His mercy I'll have them as I draw my final breath. I don't know if you were there during 9/11. So often there are people who call and say, "Oh my gosh, you know, I lived through it," or "I was driving a truck," or "I was in the city." My wife and I have a relative that was in New York City that day. And he said, "You know, it was so weird. As those buildings collapsed, as they fell," he says, "there's normally this hustle bustle of the city, but everything was eerily, almost quiet that day." And he said, "What I mean this, normally you'd hear the pitter-patter of a woman's shoes. Everyone was in their high heels, racing." He says, "One of the things that stood out to me," and there's all sorts of things that resonate with people. He says, "One of the things that really stood out to me were women running into shoe stores trying to get sneakers to put on, just trying to get out of the city, or running barefoot in order to get out of the city at that time." Lots of strange, weird little memories that people have from that day, and certain things we just take for granted. When something like that happens, it really turns everything upside down. I want to share one more package with you. Do I have time for this, Maggie? I do. It's another look. And as I said, when we come back, I hope you'll stay with me. News and headlines are coming up, but I want to share with you a really powerful and personal look at what happened in 9/11 with Cardinal Egan coming up in just a second here. But for another perspective on the day, listen to this.
"The casualty figures will be numbing, and few in the city will be untouched by what happened today. So often in the past, we've been able to say, it could have been worse. Tonight, this time, it's hard to imagine how."
"The Twin Towers and everything that was inside them is now strewn across Lower Manhattan. Office workers, the bodies of office workers, the rescue workers who tried to save them are now buried beneath tons of broken glass and twisted steel. The scope of this disaster is impossible to comprehend."
"Too many good friends we lost. Too many. So many. It's unbelievable.
It just went ba-boom. It was like a bomb went off. And it was like holy hell coming down them stairs.
I heard a plane, low, and I looked out the window
Kathleen Alvino works in an office trailer just down the street.
And then I saw flame. I saw flames engulf the whole upper portion, and then I saw the smoke, and then we saw the people jumping.
You are not alone. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.